Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
I'm joined by the number one New York Times bestselling author, Robert Crace, who's out with his brand new novel, Racing the Light. It's the latest Elvis Cole and Joe Pike novel, and he takes us on another fantastic adventure in Southern California with that great PI, Elvis Cole, and his pal. Robert, I love the fact that this book takes place where it does. You're always so descriptive of your places and the locations. The city of Los Angeles is a character in all of your novels, really. But Elvis Cole, in this particular novel, it's the old adage, everybody lies, and especially the clients who you think would tell you the truth. What's the big lie that comes in, or at least the truth that Cole has to discover before he can solve the one mystery? He's got to solve the mystery of why he's been hired in the first place, right?
Yeah, you know, all detectives are truth seekers, and in Racing the Light, Elvis is hired by a mother to find her son, who she believes is kidnapped. But what he soon learns is that everything he's being told and everything people believe are either lies or wrong, and he has to go through the various levels of this until he can find out what's truly at play here.
When somebody hires Elvis Cole, comes in, it's all word of mouth with detectives like Elvis, and so he brings in Joe Pike. How does he know the specific tasks that he wants to give Joe and leave some for himself to do as well?
Well, Joe is a unique character. Joe is Elvis Cole's muscle. He's his trusted friend, but when the going gets tough, and when the odds mount against Elvis Cole, he brings in Joe because Joe's the equalizer.
Some of this book involves the porn industry and the escort industry in Los Angeles. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, you know, I know a lot of novelists do research for this. How do you go about getting into that you know, a little bit seamier side of Los Angeles to try to get it accurate?
That reality is a constant here in Los Angeles for many years, dating back as far as you'd care to go. Los Angeles, parts of Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley, were sort of the epicenter of the porn industry. So it's always present, and you pick up a knowledge of it. Just as telling, for example, in the book, there's, one of the things that Elvis uncovers is corruption within the city government here. Well, in reality, in the past 2 years, Los Angeles has had 3 of its 16 city council members indicted on corruption charges and bribery charges. So it's almost like we're living through a Chinatown Los Angeles all over again, you know, where the city of angels is actually a city of slime.
Well, the most recent is the secret recordings that were released, right?
That's the most recent. and what's turning into a long line of corruption and embarrassment for the city.
So, and then, ironically, this book, I don't want to give much away, but there's talk of development deals, and of course, one of the most wealthy developers is now running for mayor of Los Angeles.
Yeah, which is very interesting, but it must be noted that there's never been any suggestion of corruption or payoff on the part of Mr. Caruso. In fact, the 2 of the 3 city council members who've been indicted in the past 2 years, they were both indicted for accepting money in some fashion from foreign investors who were seeking to develop big properties here. And again, I touch upon that in the novel Racing the Light 2, the amount of foreign money that's flooding into Los Angeles. That's creating a lot of problems like this.
Well, and just the foreign money that's flowing in, not to Los Angeles itself for development, but even to Hollywood. There's so much Chinese influence in Hollywood now, and that's got to be something that doesn't escape your attention.
No, it isn't. And again, it's not just Hollywood. It's all aspects of society. Look at the NBA. I mean, and other companies. China is a huge market So large corporations, of course, who always are seeking greater and greater profits, I think are doing whatever they can to try to get the Chinese dollars.
Getting back to your book, I love the descriptions of Los Angeles and, you know, around the Studio City area. And I enjoy reading when Joe is, or when Elvis, I think it was driving around, and you have a part, and I'm just picking one out of the book. He was heading west on Ventura toward Laurel. Sometimes you'll put in specifics like that, so I can kind of picture that area. Sometimes you'll just say that Elvis went to a certain location, and you don't name any street names or business names. What makes you decide whether to be that specific on something versus just saying he went to someplace?
Well, the city is a character for me, and I love embellishing the city. So when Elvis Cole moves around, when I decide where I want him to be, where I want him to drive, which particular neighborhood he's going to, it's because I find the location helps to establish the whole mood and tone of the piece. It offers Elvis, you know, he can do funny commentary about a certain piece, or he could be very scared in another area. These things to me are really what makes for a colorful, more interesting read.
And I think back to the Saturday Night Live skit about the Californians, I think they called it, when so much of living in L.A. and working in L.A. just involves figuring out where to drive, how to get someplace, and where to park. And is that sort of what you're touching on in the book?
Sure. I mean, it's an absolute fact, by the way. I mean, if my wife and I go to see friends or they come here, one of the first things any California talks about is the route you took and how the traffic was.
Is there a certain, just a... an aura about being in California that allows you to capture it so well? Could you be sitting in Florida and write this book, even though you've lived in Los Angeles for so many years? Could you leave the town and would you still have that that thumbprint on the ethos of the town?
Well, Brian, honestly, I think I have to be here to write this. There's a color and energy and vibe to Los Angeles that's constantly shifting and changing. I mean, certainly I could do a form of it wherever I lived, but I think Los Angeles itself is in such a fast evolution that to really be one with it, in order to write stuff that with any immediacy, you have to be here.
I'm chatting with Robert Crace about his brand new novel, Racing the Light, an Elvis Cole and Joe Pike novel. I'm always interested in the titles for these books where they're different characters. You know, of course, your Cole and Pike novels here. This particular title has an action involved, Racing the Light. I mean, there's been previous ones, and a lot of them are nouns, like the Promise, The Wanted, A Dangerous Man. This one describes an action. What goes into, and I know you don't probably have a lot to do with the titles, but what goes into picking the right title for a book like this?
Well, you want the title to suggest a certain feeling about what the book might remember, because the title is the first thing any reader sees. So you want the title to be intriguing, and in this case, I think it is. It was actually the characters in the book that presented this title to me, because normally I'm a bear for titles. It's a struggle to come up with one, but there are multiple places in the book as I wrote it where characters refer to the light. The light in this case meaning the sun rising, sun setting, also the truth, and that's really how I see it. The truth, the light of the truth, is something that governs us all. And that's why it's so important for Elvis Cole to uncover that truth.
There's a certain aspect of this book that also deals with some surveillance equipment that's highly technical, and I don't think Elvis and Joe even really understand the whole dynamics of it play there. But when you go about putting something in that, if assuming that technology or something similar exists, what's your research like just to get it to you so you can understand it and then make it actually fit into the story so it keeps flowing, because you don't want to get bogged down in details?
All right. Well, I could tell you, Brian, but then I'd have to kill you.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Now, actually, I do a lot of quite a bit of research in that. because a lot of the work that private investigators do is security work. Some of my characters, like Joe Pike and John Stone, who's in this particular novel, have a history in the defense industry where they've done security work. So, you know, I try to do enough research into surveillance gear to make what I create more believable. The equipment I have them use in the book is actual equipment. But every once in a while, sometimes you have to peek around the corner and see what's coming. And you know, hopefully I do a good job of presenting a realistic bit of spy equipment.
Another trademark of your writing that I always enjoy is short sentences, short paragraphs, sometimes one word, sometimes two, three, four words, and they're short paragraphs. When you write these out, are those paragraphs that short, or is that part of the editing process when you just keep shrinking it down?
Well, both. I mean, I tend to write in very short, direct sentences. I guess that's just my natural style, and that's how the words come out. But I do revise a lot. Typically, when I'm writing the novels, the scenes, the chapters, everything, when I first draft it, it's much longer than what appears in the final book. So I'm constantly honing and trying to get rid of unnecessary words, trying to make it leaner, tighter, and a faster read.
Is the short sentences, is that a offshoot of your TV writing days?
Interesting question. You know what? That's an interesting observation, Brian. Maybe it could be. I had not considered that before, but maybe it could, because in television, of course, you know, it's a visual medium, and the screenwriter doesn't have to elaborate in a lot of description, and dialogue itself needs to be shorter in order to play better in front of the camera. So it could be very well.
There's a lot of personal relationships in here. Between couples, you know, a romantic relationship. Then there's relationships between parents and best friends and all of that. And when you go about capturing that type of emotion, is that a tough deal to break away from the action part of it and then write the emotional part of it?
Actually, the emotions in the scenes that you're, I think, speaking of, those feelings are the engine that drives the novel for me. When I'm working out the book and creating the characters and whatnot and thinking out the story, I think of those scenes, those emotions that I'm working toward as pivot points for the book, and they actually are what I'm shooting for. I want the reader to feel those emotions. I want to feel those emotions when I'm writing the scene, because if I don't, I think I've failed. And the emotional touch, yeah, the action and the plot changes and twists, those are certainly all fun. But those emotions that actually touch us, touch the reader, that's really what makes the book rewarding, and that's what I'm hoping to achieve.
As the writer, do you root for characters emotionally like we do when we root for the hero? We all want Elvis and Joe to win.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, I'm a reader first. Before I'm a writer, I'm a reader. And I'm writing fiction I think of it as heroic fiction in a way. And, you know, Elvis Cole's the good guy. Elvis Cole is trying to help someone who's innocent or been victimized. And I, of course, want him to win. I want him to help that person to win. And that's what I think I did in Racing the Light.
All right. Well, this was another fantastic edition of the Elvis Cole and Joe Pike series. This is, as he said, Racing the Light by Robert Crace. The book's available everywhere. Pick up a copy. And if you've never read the series before, check it out. You do not need to read them in order. It's a series, but they can all stand alone and you'll enjoy them all. Robert, just another fantastic book, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.